John chapter 1, we're going to read verse 14. And the Word was made flesh. Well, who's the Word? Well, verse 1 tells us. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So we know that the Word is God. And then he goes on, he says, the Word was made flesh, so God incarnate in the person of Jesus Christ, God's Son, and dwelt or tabernacled among us. He tented with us. And we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father. Well, we beheld his glory. Whose glory? Well, the Word was made flesh. It dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. And the Word was God, so we beheld God's glory in the person of Jesus Christ. You've seen Jesus Christ, you've seen the glory of God, right? Full of grace and truth. So, a verse packed with a lot. Just that one verse. That one verse. The question we want to answer this morning and this afternoon is why? Why? Why did that happen? Why would deity want to become humanity? Why did the one that was in the bosom of the Father, who knew love, who knew comfort, who experienced that comfort and that love and that peace and that glory with the Father, why would he want to come here and be ridiculed and mocked, hunted down, and eventually crucified? Why would that which is spirit want to become flesh? Why would the creator of the universe want to become a creature? Well, that's what we want to answer. Why would he do that? Well, I know you're sitting there and you'll say, well, I know why he did that, because he's Savior. Well, there's a few other reasons he did it. You know, the ultimate reason he did it is not so much to become our Savior. The ultimate reason he did it was to do the will of the Father. Now, we'll see that later on, maybe this afternoon. But that was the ultimate reason. Remember, he told the disciples one time when they thought he was hungry. They thought they'd go out to somewhere and fast food and get him something to eat. And he said, no, my meat, my food, my nourishment is to do what? Be the Savior? Do the will of the Father. That is my meat. That is what nourishes me. That is what gives me strength. That's what gives me vitality. That's what feeds me. Feeds my soul to do the will of the Father. Now, in that will, we know that man's salvation was in that. Right? Okay. Well, let's look at some reasons he did not come. The negatives. Some reasons that he did not come, and he's going to give us three. So let's turn to Matthew now and look at chapter 5 and verse 17. Christ in his own words. Matthew 5:17. Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. Now, we've been talking about law in Galatians a lot. But he said, I ain't come to destroy the law. Paul said, the law is good. The law is good. You see, when Christ was on this earth, he was being accused constantly by the religious leaders of that day. He was being accused of trying to do away with the law. He was being accused of trying to do away with Moses and his law and the prophets. They were accusing him of that. And they knew that he was speaking of the Old Testament scriptures. And the foundation of the Old Testament was the law given in the Pentateuch, which was preached and it was applied by the prophets. And so they saw him as attempting to do away with it, eradicate it, destroy it. Now there are three divisions to the law. And we mentioned that in Sunday school this morning. There is the moral law, and that regulates the behavior of mankind. Ten Commandments. So we have the moral law of God to regulate man's behavior. Then there is the civil law, which regulated the nation. It regulated the nation and what the nation was to do, how things were to be handled civilly. And so there was the moral law, there was the civil law, and then there was the ceremonial law, which was about worship, the sacrifices, and all that that took place. The prophets came along, and they confirmed the law in their teaching. Remember, I think it might have been last 2 weeks ago, we said that after Moses, the next prophet was Samuel. And from Samuel on, they begin to confirm the law in their teaching. And so he was being accused of abolishing that. Just doing away with it. And the reason they didn't like it is because his authority did not come from anyone that they recognized or they acknowledged. Because if they did not recognize the source, then it was taboo. If they did not, these religious leaders did not recognize the source of a teaching and where it came from, if they did not okay it, it was taboo. And so they did not, his authority did not come from any of those that they recognized or gave any credence to. And so his teaching, since it did not come from those scholars of the law and those that they recognized, where did it come from? From himself. And they saw him as just his opinions, his false teaching, and it's coming from him. And so again, they saw here this individual that now has come and he is trying to do away with all our law, all the prophets. And not only did he teach this, but in his practice, he was healing on the Sabbath. He was violating the law. Not only was he teaching it, but in his behavior, he was violating the law. And things he did on the Sabbath as far as healing. He ate with sinners. So he was defiling himself. He would eat with Gentiles. And not only again, he's teaching, he is doing these things that are so much against the law. He said he's going to destroy the temple. Can you imagine? They're getting irate. I mean, you can understand what they are doing and what they are seeing him. He is coming in their hearts and minds. He is destroying everything. Their entire worship, in their entire life, all of their behavior that they saw was according to the law, all of their teaching that came from the law, all of their worshiping that has been going on for thousands of years. And here comes this one. He is against the law. He is trying to destroy the law. He is healing and doing things on the Sabbath that he should not do. He is associating with those who are defiled. And even going to bring down the temple and change all the customs, all the traditions. Sound a little familiar? Y'all got to think through that now. Okay. That's what they were angry at. That's what they were angry at. But what was his purpose? Was that his purpose in coming? Well, he says, what? Think not that I'm come to destroy the law. That's not my purpose. I didn't come to destroy the law. He did not come to abolish the law. He came to fulfill the law. And of course, they're wondering, how can you be fulfilling the law when you're healing on the Sabbath? When you're associating with those who are defiled, how can that be fulfilling the law? You're not obeying it. Well, he tells us in Matthew, he had come to fulfill the law and the prophets. In other words, the word fulfill means to bring to completion. To bring to completion the law. Now, what did he mean by that? Well, he's going to complete it. Everything the law required, he was going to bring it to completion. He would fulfill it. He did not destroy the law by fighting against it. He's not destroying the law by teaching against it. And they didn't understand this. He's not destroying the law because of his practice and all. He is not doing that. He has come to fulfill it, not to destroy it. Not to destroy it. But even more than that, what do we see this morning in Sunday school? What did he actually come to destroy? Wasn't the law. What was it? Remember? The curse of the law. There's a difference. He came not to destroy the law, but to fulfill it. And his fulfillment of law would destroy the curse of the law. Christ, as Galatians 3:13 says, he came to destroy the curse, to abolish the curse of the law. That's what he was going to abolish. He fulfilled the moral law by his righteous life because he was sinless. He fulfilled the judicial law, the civil law, at the cross when God did as he said and took the kingdom from them, the Jew, because they rejected the Messiah. And he fulfilled the ceremonial law by doing away with all the sacrifices, and he became the one and only sacrifice. He did away with all that. And he fulfills the prophets because he was the fulfillment of all their prophecies concerning him that was spoken of him. So he did not come to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. And so he is a fulfillment of all the law, everything the law contained, and everything the prophets prophesied. He was the fulfillment of that. So one thing he did not come to do, he did not come to destroy the law. Now let's go to Matthew 9. He gives another reason he did not come. Matthew 9 and verse 13. But go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice. Notice this. I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Now, we understand what he just said by reading the previous verse, verse 12. It says, when Jesus heard that, he said unto them, they that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. They that are sick. Those who are well, those who have no disease, those who have no illness, they don't need a physician. And he's using that, and he is using physicians that deal physically. If you are not sick, you're not going to call a physician. Unless you just love to go pay the doctors, I don't know. But if you're not sick, you're not going to go to the doctor. I don't think you get up every once in a while and say, you know, I think I'm just going to go to the doctor today. No, in fact, you won't go until you're almost on deathbed most of the time. We won't go. We don't like to go to the doctor when you have a physical ailment. And so he's using that. He said, the people who are well, those that are sick, do not go to the physician. Only the ones who are sick. Only the ones who are sick. You get sick, and you get sick enough, guess what? You're going to the physician. You're going to the doctor. Now, in Jesus' day, you didn't go to the doctor. They didn't have the Jerusalem hospital in Jesus' day, okay? The doctor came to you. You remember when the doctor used to come? I don't know if y'all did or not. Remember when the doctor used to come to your house? You get sick, you call the doctor, he'd come, you know what? Now y'all just think this crazy. And the doctor would come, he'd have his black bag. And he'd open that bag and he'd bring out, the first thing he'd bring out was what? Stethoscope. Check you out. And he would bring it out. And he would come to your house. He would come to you because you're sick. You admit that you're sick. You need a doctor. You need a physician. And they would come. And I'm telling you, I think they could diagnose problems better than they can today. It's kind of like the weather, you know. It's kind of like the weather. Used to didn't have all this technology, and they could tell you more about the weather than they can today. But that's the way it was in his day, just like it was years ago in our day. So he uses this to explain the sickness of the soul. He uses physical sickness. If a person's not physically sick, they're not going to seek a doctor. They're not going to want to see a doctor. But he uses this and he says, this is the sickness of the soul. There is a plague of sin that is common to all mankind. There is the disease of sin, the illness of sin that every man that comes into this world, every person has. Now, Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is a sickness there. There's an ailment that is spiritual of the soul. And Christ is using this to give an analogy. Every person is born with a disease. Every person has a diseased soul that is dying. That is dying. Everyone, you, me, that came into this world. But only those who realize they have a sick soul will seek the physician that they need. Well, they're the only ones that are going to come to him for healing. If I don't see that I am sick, that my sin is killing me, I am dying, I am a walking dead man. And the longer I go, the worse it gets. And eventually, not only am I already spiritually dead, but may die physically with it. And the only ones that will come to Christ are those who realize that by the truth of God's Word and what God's Word tells us. Now, those that don't come are those who are proud. They won't do it. You know, most time those don't go to a doctor physically or usually because they're just pride. You know? They won't do this, do that because pride. I can make it. I can handle this. Don't need to go to no doctor. Don't need to pay no doctor. I can take care of this. Next week you're having a funeral. You know, I've always said, and I'm not one that just runs to the doctor every time I get sick. Every time I get a sniffle, I'm not going to run to the doctor. But now I'm going to tell you, if I get sick enough, we're going to make contact. We're going to make contact, okay? Do you know why I'm going to do that? Because God gave me that in order that I would know when I'm sick. When there's pain, God says, I gave it to you for a reason. It means that something ain't right. When things in your body don't work, God says, there's a reason that you know that and you recognize that. I gave it to you. Now act like you got some sense. And don't be prideful and say, I'm not going. Because that's exactly the way it is in the spiritual realm. They will not seek the physician because they are so full of pride. I think that junk is nonsense. Let preacher know that is nonsense. And they'll live like that and go to hell like that. I've always kind of wanted to peer into them in hell and see what it's like. I'm not so sure that we may not. I don't know. I'm guessing on that one. But, you know, you kind of want to ask them, well, see where it got you? See where it got you? Well, you see, Christ is talking about those that are diseased spiritually. Their soul is sick. But I didn't come for them. I'm not that doctor that goes to the house. I'm not the one that makes the call. I don't go to them. Why? Because they're self-righteous. They're self-righteous. They're full of pride. They don't see the need. And I was not called to go to them. That's what he said. I did not come to call the righteous. He's not talking about the righteous person that's already saved before him. He is talking about, I did not come to call the self-righteous. Now that's a dangerous position to be in. But he said, I didn't come to do that. He said, I came to call the sinners, the ones who are sick. Just like a doctor that goes, he's not going to go to a house where everybody's well and leave the ones who are really sick alone, is he? What kind of doctor do you think that would be? Well, all he does is go down. He's always in that house down there. Everybody in that house is healthy. He goes down here. Everybody in that house is healthy. But we got sick people here. He don't come see us. Now, that would be crazy, wouldn't it? A doctor to do that. For him to go to the houses, and all he does is go to the house where everybody's well. Christ said, I don't do that. When it comes to spiritual need, sickness, I did not come to call the self-righteous. Those who think they are well, those who think everything is good, those who think they're spiritually okay, I didn't come to call them. I came to call the sinner. The one who recognizes his spiritual disease, he is sick and he has the plague from the fall, and they realize it and they're sick. They're the ones I come to. So he tells us there. Now, in verse 13a, it was a rebuke. The first part of verse 13 was a rebuke to the Pharisees. But go ye and learn what that means. In other words, what he just said in verse 12. Because it was often used by rabbis as a rebuke to those who did not know what they should. The rabbis would rebuke people because they didn't have the knowledge that they should have. And so the Pharisees knew exactly what he meant in that first part of verse 13. They knew exactly what he meant. So the call in this passage here is a call to repentance and faith to him. That is what it's talking about. Now look over at Luke chapter 5, and we have the parallel to it in Luke chapter 5, verse 32. There he says, I come not to call the righteous, but sinners, what? To repentance. To repentance. Now the remedy is seen in Matthew 4 and verse 17. Matthew 4 and verse 17. Here's the remedy. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. There's your remedy. There's the prescription. There's a prescription for the sick soul, for the diseased soul, for the spiritually sick. He said, that's the remedy. So the call is to repent, to change one's life, to change one's mind. So he did not come. He said, I did not come to destroy the law. Came to fulfill it. I did not come to call the self-righteous. I did not do that. To repentance. Because they're the ones who reject my mercy. They're the ones who reject my grace. And they shut themselves from it. They shut themselves from it. Christ said in 5:40, he said, you will not come to me that you might have life. You will not do it. Christ did not come with the expectation of succeeding in calling the self-righteous, because he knew what they were like. He came with the expectation that he would call the sinner and his righteousness would become their righteousness. It wouldn't be self-righteousness. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 10. So that's the second reason to come. Now Matthew chapter 10 and verse 34. Think not that I am come to send peace on the earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. Wow. He said, I didn't come to bring peace. I didn't come to destroy the law, and I didn't come to call the self-righteous. I did not come to send peace on earth. Now remember, when he came, what was happening? They were under Roman government. They were under oppression of Rome. And they wanted a king. They wanted a Messiah. They expected the Messiah to come and bring peace. In fact, they expected the Messiah to come and he would destroy the Romans and erect his kingdom and they would have peace. And he says, I didn't come to bring peace. I came to bring a sword. Now we know in the Christmas story, the angels came in Luke chapter 2 and they said, on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And of course they were talking about the birth. Now, could there have been peace? Yes, if they had not rejected. That's why he wept over Jerusalem. He wept over Jerusalem. When he said he wept over them because they rejected him. As John tells us, they came to his own and they received him not. He was the light that cometh into the world, and the world comprehended. That word comprehend does not mean understand it. It means it could not do away with the light. It would not do away with the light. In fact, a better word is apprehend it. It won't they didn't understand it. They couldn't overcome it. And they never will overcome it. They never will overcome it. Darkness will never overcome the light. And that's what he said in John chapter 1. So, the sword was an instrument of death. He said, I came not for peace, but a sword. The sword, what does it do? It cuts. It divides, don't it? It divides. It's sharp. It can divide limbs from the body. And that's the idea he is saying. That's what he is saying here. He said, I come to bring a sword. Now, that was not the purpose of his coming. The sword was not the purpose of his coming. But the sword is the effect of his coming. Because it divides. He brought division. It brings conflict. On Wednesday night, we're looking at Genesis 3:15. We're going to go a little deeper in that this coming Wednesday night when it says, God, God, God placed enmity. God put the enmity there between Satan's seed and the woman's seed. There is enmity, there's division between the satanic world system and the true Bible believer, the Christian. I did not come for the purpose of bringing a sword, but my coming will be like the effects of a sword. It will cut deep. It will divide. And there is enmity between the believer and the non-believer. There's enmity between the believer and the world system. And listen, there's always, even in the garden, we said Wednesday night, there was some enmity. There was enmity. But it really, really came to its fruition. I don't know if I want to use the word fruition. It grew greatly when Christ came with the gospel. Well, believers are treated as enemies today, aren't they? We're the roadblock to progression, and so we become an enemy to what the world system wants. We become an enemy to the non-believer. There is a war. Remember, as we looked at Ephesians chapter 6. There's a deep division between the followers of Christ and the world. There's strife, there's hatred, there's division among the most intimate of relationships when it comes to Christ. How many homes right now are divided because half the home are believers and the other half are not? And what happens? Conflict. Enmity. How about between marriages? We talked about this morning. Be not unequally yoked together. And the next thing you know, there's an enmity there. Who put it there? God did. God did. I will place enmity. I will do it. There's enmity there. Family members are ostracized because they turned to Christ. Husband and wives are separated because one of the others turned to Christ because of their faith in Christ. That's what he's saying here. I did not come to bring peace. When I came, the message that I have, my followers will face the sword, not peace. There will be division and there will be deep cuts because I am what? against the world system. My kingdom is different from the kingdom of darkness. My kingdom is different. And the sword was not, again, the purpose, but it was the effect. So we have seen that he did not come to destroy the law nor the prophets. He did not come to call the self-righteous to salvation. He did not come to send peace. And finally, he did not come to judge the world. He did not come to judge the world. Now, he did not come to judge the world the first time. But he will come again. The world has not seen the last of him. The unbeliever has not heard the last word. He is Alpha and Omega. And that last word is going to be a word of judgment, of condemnation. And the assurance of that happening is the resurrection. It's the resurrection. But what he did do, he came to be the Savior of mankind. And we'll look at that a little more this afternoon and look a little more closer to it. God sent his Son because the world needed a Savior. They needed a physician. They needed healing. Someone said this: if the world needed more information, God would have sent an educator. If the world needed more technology, God would have sent a scientist. If the world needed more money, God would have sent an economist. If the world needed more pleasure, God would have sent an entertainer. If the world needed more government, God would have sent a politician. The world needed a Savior. And God sent the world a Savior. For those that are in Christ, it'll be a day, one day, when the Lord returns, it'll be a day without a sunset. For those who are not in Christ, it'll be a day or a night without daybreak. For those in Christ, it'll be a day of comfort. For those not in Christ, it'll be a day of condemnation. For those that are in Christ, it'll be a day when justice will have prevailed. For the unbeliever, it'll be a day when judgment will fall. And the door will be shut. Well, I hope that you have taken the Savior to meet your need. God sent a Savior. That's what mankind needed. Let's stand and we'll be dismissed.